Psalms 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
Good morning, guys. Grab your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I'm thinking about my dad today, and I've told you guys plenty of stories, probably too many stories about my dad, but my little brother was telling a story the other day that they were at the church in Cushing where my brother preaches, and they were having it was like a graduation party or a fellowship meal, I don't know what it was, but my brother was sitting around a table with his friends who were his age and my dad. And one of the guy's wives comes by and says to her husband, "Hey, honey, can I go get you some chocolate cake? You want the cake or the pie?" And he said, "Well, honey, I'd love the chocolate cake." And she goes off to get it for him, and the other guys start ragging on him, right? They're ripping on him. "Oh, you're so pampered. Oh, you can't even get your stuff for yourself." Pure jealousy. It was pure jealousy. And then my dad looked around and kind of clears his throat and goes, and lifts his teacup and rattles the ice in it, and my mom comes running from the kitchen. "Honey, can I get you some sweet tea?" "Oh, that'd be nice." And she goes off, and dad looks around the table, and every guy there's jaw is dropped, and they acknowledge that they're in the presence of a master. That was they knew they had a lot to learn from that point on. But my dad, he was fun, he was cocky. My memories of my dad are all about farm ponds and fishing, and he coached my little league baseball teams, and we spent a lot of time around the campfire at deer camp, hunting, sitting by each other. It was cheering on OU football. Like, all these things are wrapped up with my dad on Father's Day. And the things that matter most, though, I mean, all those matter, but also just the way my dad was with my mom. I was raised by a man who truly loved his wife. That's a big deal. And that really sank into me. I remember he'd come home from work at the fish hatchery and walk in the door, and he would scream, "Polly Pooley," or whatever his nickname for my mom was at the time, because it changed. And my mom would come, and he'd do a little dance until she got there, and they hugged. Like, I knew that my dad loved my mom. That was huge. It was also huge the way he was as a man of God. He was a leader in the church. He became an elder in the church. But my memories of him are leading singing or teaching classes. And it was really cool when I got to go back and preach at that church, to do kind of serve the Lord alongside my dad as an adult. That was cool. And I think I told you guys this a while back, but one of the best things was I'd get done preaching and my dad would be leading singing that day, and I'd be standing on stage with my dad while he's leading the invitation song. That was really good stuff. That was rich. It was wholesome. Having said that, my dad was not a perfect dad. None of them are. I don't think he had a clue how to deal with us when we were little, because he'd never been around little kids. I remember 12 years old, and dad said, "Hey, son, let me come out in the yard and let me teach you how to shoot a basketball." And I'm like, "Dad, I've been playing basketball for years." Like, he was behind the times on all this stuff. My college graduation, we all gather in Edmond. I went to UCO, and we're about to go to the graduation, and I was all excited, and I said something about how excited I was, and my dad said, "Yeah, it's okay." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, son, you know, what you're going to do." I said, "Dad, I'm going to go be a minister." He goes, "Yeah, that's good, but you know how I always wanted you to be an astronaut." He had never once told me my whole life he wanted me to be an astronaut. It came out of nowhere and just kind of killed my joy. He's a joy killer a little bit sometimes. But I love my dad. And dads, fathers are essential and they're vital. None of us are perfect, right? We strive. None of us get it right every time. But thank God that we do have an example of perfect fatherhood that we can follow. And that's our Father in heaven. And what I want to do today is just look at some things about our Heavenly Father that will help us understand some things as earthly fathers or as earthly children with fathers. So Matthew 6 is where we're going with this. Let me get there myself. We'll start in verse 9. This is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is taking his disciples aside. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching people how to pray. He's kind of contrasting the way you should pray with the way you shouldn't pray. And the way you shouldn't pray is hypocritically. You're not praying to be seen. You're not praying to be seen as holy or righteous. You're not doing it for the approval of men. He's teaching us how to truly communicate with God in a sincere way. Verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, a little teaching at the end of that prayer. Just want to look at a few things from this that'll teach us about our Father and how we relate to them. First of all, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, we as earthly fathers aren't hallowed. We're not holy. God is holy, and he's holy, and he's holy. But it tells us how we should relate to our earthly fathers. This is from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So Paul there is taking some Old Testament teaching, moving it to the New Testament. All it has to do with obeying and honoring parents. This was built into their covenant. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. The penalty for disobeying this command in the Mosaic Law was death. Death. That, to us, that may sound harsh, but this is just how important God decided it was for children to honor and obey their parents. And this may give you a clue as to why. The promise there that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land, that was tied into the covenant God made with them to take and have the Canaan's land as their own land and to become a nation to themselves. And he tied their relationship with their parents into their ability to stay in the land. So it's hugely important. Listen, Dad, we'll talk to dads. This applies to moms too, but dads, if you train your kid to honor and obey you and your wife, then you have a much better chance of your child growing up to honor and obey God, his heavenly Father. Does that make sense? On the other hand, if you train them, and we can do this, if you train them to dishonor and disobey you and your wife, you are training them to dishonor and disobey God. It's super easy. If you just let things slip and let things go and go of dishonor and disobedience to you, you're training them not to listen to the voice of God and not to obey God. We can do it by just letting things go. Hey, boy. Cut that out. And he keeps doing it. No. I said stop. And he keeps doing it. And you tell him a third time and he keeps doing it. You're training him not to listen to your voice. Does that make sense? If you're training him not to listen to your voice, you're training him not to listen to the voice of God. You are put in the position, God has placed you there to train them up to know him and love him. This is massive. Now, to us as children with fathers, we want to honor and obey our parents. I don't know if there's an age limit set on that for honoring. Even when they're not being honorable, from you honor them. Because this tells a lot more about who you are than about who they are. Speaks more to your character than to theirs. But for fathers and mothers here, if the onus is on children to honor and obey us, then we need to strive with everything we've got to live in a manner worthy of that honor. Does that make sense? If God is calling your kids to respect you, then you live worthy of that respect. You don't let your temper get out of control. You don't let anything in your life get out of control in a way that would harm them, right? You be a person who is worthy of that respect. So really the sum of it is this: godly children honor their fathers. They do. And godly fathers strive to be worthy of that honor. Men of God, will we do this? This is who God is calling us to be and to do. Next part: give us this day our daily bread. God is a provider. It is in his very nature. Not just creator, but provider. I'm actually going to talk about this some next week. But God provides. Every breath you take, God provides the oxygen for all of that to work. Every bite of food you eat is provided by God. Every hour you are given on earth is a gift from God. He is a provider and a provider and a provider. In fact, one of his names, titles in the Old Testament is Jehovah Jireh, which is God provides. God not only is a provider, he wants you to come to him with the things that you need. He desires you to come and ask him. Remember Jesus teaching in other places. Ask, seek, knock. God wants you to come with him, to him, with the needs that you have in your life. He wants to be the source of that good. And godly fathers want the same thing. We want our children to come to us, because we are the source in so many ways of their life. So godly fathers provide food, shelter, clothing. They make sure the physical needs of their family are met. I think this is important to say, because there are a lot of people in the culture around you that don't grasp onto that. A lot of men make babies but don't raise babies. That's not what God is calling any one of us to do, or any man to do. If you are, in fact, I can't think of a less honorable way to live than to help create life and then not take care of that life. We're called to step in and provide and care for. You don't have to do it. You don't have to be a millionaire to do this. You don't have to buy them every new game system or every new phone. Sorry, guys. In fact, if you do that, you're probably going to ruin them. Fathers work hard to make sure their kids have food in their bellies and clothes on their back, and that they lack nothing that they need. Not necessarily want. You indulge every want, you're going to spoil them. But you provide for their needs. Physical. Godly fathers also provide for their children's emotional, mental, spiritual needs. They support and encourage and teach and discipline and love, love, love. And they give their child everything necessary for them to grow and to thrive, to grow up good and strong and wise and good. That's what we do. We want to set our children up to succeed in every aspect of their lives. We want to prepare them for every challenge that they face. We want to make sure that they have the right support system and the right mindset and the right perspective in every aspect of their lives, specifically their spiritual lives. We want to raise our kids to be good. I remember growing up, it was pretty important for my mom and dad that I be good, right? They didn't want me to lie. They didn't want me to steal. They didn't want me to tear stuff up. You know, they had an idea of the behavior that I should follow, and it was to be good. And that's a good thing, but it's not enough. Parents, raise your children to be good, but it's not enough for them to be good. They're going to have to be wise, because there are so many pitfalls in life out there and so many things that could take them out. Even if they're good in their heart, if they're not wise in their head and their conduct, they're probably going to fall for some really bad stuff. And I can't tell you how many people, after years of ministry, how many people that I know who were good-hearted people who ended up in a terrible place in life because they weren't wise. Raise your kids to be good, raise your kids to be wise, and raise your kids to be strong. Because it's not easy out there. They're going to have strength in their spirit and in their attitude and their heart. Good, wise, strong. That's what it's going to take. So you as a parent, you're called to be good and wise and strong, because I don't know that you can impart something that you don't yourself have. So you're called to those things, and you're called to raise your child up to be those things, which is not easy, but it's vital. So godly fathers provide for their families. They provide in so many ways, making sure that their kids are put in the right position to succeed. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Does forgiveness come naturally to you? It doesn't come naturally to me. If I feel wronged, I want to do wrong back. You know, that's just kind of my natural response. And the worse the wrong done I feel has been done to me, the worse I want to do to somebody else. And I can't imagine, though, a more miserable way to live than to hold every grudge and to take every offense and to lock that up and fail to forgive. That's a miserable life that you don't want for yourself and you don't want for your kids. Listen, godly fathers are forgiving, merciful, and compassionate. Think how much in your life you have needed God's forgiveness. Just in the past month, how much of God's compassion and mercy and forgiveness have you needed? A lot, right? In the same way, your children are going to need forgiveness and mercy and compassion from you. They're going to need you to constantly believe in them and root for them and just show compassion. And they're going to do wrong. They're going to mess up. They're going to need your forgiveness. I got a good friend that his dad, and I'm friends with his dad too. Anyway, he messed up when he was in high school, and it got so contentious with him and his dad that his dad kicked him out. He was just a teenager, I think 16 or 17 years old, kicked him out of the house. And that wound wasn't mended for over 20 years. And I talked to his dad later, of course, way after this, the fact, and he said, I didn't know. I didn't know how to get him to do what he needed to do. He said, the only way I thought I could get him to do what he needed to do was to stop loving him. He just didn't know. Because his dad did the same thing with him. And he didn't know how to raise his son any other way than, if you're not going to do what I want, then I don't love you. 20 wasted years of heartbreak. And finally, that's mended. But what a waste. What a waste. Fathers, forgive your children. Be compassionate, merciful, forgiving to them. Not enabling or indulging the bad things in their life. That'd be incredibly selfish. A father disciplines the children that he loves so that they will build for themselves a disciplined life, so their impulses and their emotions don't call the shots and drag them down and ruin them. I mean, we don't indulge that bad in any way, but godly fathers are forgiving, and they pass that on to their kids. Fathers, are you doing that? Are you living that out? Finally here, Jesus in his prayer to God the Father says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is Ephesians 6, 4 here. If I can get my clicker to work. There we go. Where am I at? There we go. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Part of that is protecting them from evil. Godly fathers guard their children's spirits like a ferocious junkyard dog. Get mean about it. Not to your child, but get serious about protecting them from the evil that's out there. Because I'll tell you, I'm convinced that now in all of human history, because of media, the internet, etc., evil has more capability to influence your child than ever. And if you just openly expose them to all the evil of the world, it will wreck your child. And it can just come through into your house, through a laptop, through a phone. It can come anywhere in. It's so easy. You know, for most of human history, moms and dads and brothers and sisters were the primary influence in a child's life. They spent all their time probably on a farm working alongside mom and dad, and therefore mom and dad had the most influence and the strongest voice guiding their future, but now it's not that way at all. send them off to school, a whole lot of influence from that school. You get them on YouTube or the internet, bad things can come in. Dads, protect your kids. Guard their spirits. Guard their hearts. You want to protect them from every evil influence and promote every good influence, right? You got to do both. You got to identify with some wisdom what's bad in their life. And I'm going to say sinful or foolish, because stupidity can be every bit as damaging to somebody as sinfulness. It's true. You can get yourself in every bit of bad situation because of that. But good fathers teach their kids to hate evil, to abhor evil, and cling to that which is good. So you got to teach them how to see it themselves, which is tough because evil can look really good sometimes. It can look virtuous. That's kind of the culture we're in right now. For a decade or two, a lot of things that are straight up evil have been promoted as virtuous and good. And you got to help them see through that stuff. See it for what it is. Avoid it. Guard them against it. Help them learn to guard themselves against it. And then also cling to the good. You got to show them what the good things are in life and grab hold of it and not let go until the day they die. Godly fathers are less worried about their kids' academic performance. They're less worried about their kids' sports teams and how good they play on that sports team. They're less worried about their kids' education in the future. They're less worried about scholarships. They're not worried about their kids' popularity. What they're overwhelmingly concerned with is their child's relationship with God and their child's eternal destination. Are you listening? Because at the end of the day, none of the other stuff matters at all. There is one thing that matters. One thing. Are they in the saving arms of God? And will they spend an eternity in heaven? Because if those two things are not true, and then, of course those are all bound up together, if those are not true in your child's life, then you're setting them up to fail. And it's not going to matter. It doesn't matter what college they go to if they end up in hell. Does it? Doesn't matter how they did at the band competition if they end up in hell. There is one thing that matters, and that's choosing God. That's what matters. Way down the line. Now, second is honestly who you marry. That is the second most important decision you'll make in your entire life, because that person will have influence to pull you closer to God or drag you away from God. But those are kind of the two big ones, and everything else is just optional. They're just optional. So godly fathers are guarding their child's spirits in a way that helps lead them towards God and an eternity with God. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is remotely as important as that. Godly fathers know that life does not last forever, that heaven awaits a few and hell awaits a lot, far more. So they bring their child up to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, obey Him, live for Him. Good godly fathers are setting their children up to succeed in that. So fathers, listen up. You've been given a huge responsibility, but it's also a huge blessing. God has placed you in someone's life, and your end goal is to hand them back to Him. You're a steward. That's a weird way of saying it, but you are just a steward of this child's life to guide them back to their heavenly Father. Own it, knowing that God is with you every step of the way. Sometimes it may seem overwhelming. Parenting can seem overwhelming. Look, God is with you, and He wants you to succeed. All you got to do is come to Him, and He will help you. Dads, are you listening? Responsibility and blessing, but you'll go into it with God on your side. That is my message this morning. If anybody has any need, please come forward while we stand and sing.
Give me the grace. Give me